the Gospel of John, chapter 1 still. We've been in it for about 2 weeks. I want to encourage all you guys to listen up tonight, to get your pencils out, to get ready to study the Word. It's a blessing. All you guys that are new, we welcome you, and we just praise the Lord that you could fellowship and worship the Lord with us. You guys, the theme of the Gospel of John, we checked it out. If you guys would turn with me real fast to chapter 20, verse 31, just to look at this one more time. John chapter 20, verse 31. Actually, verse 30, I'll start out. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There's a purpose to this book. The purpose is the deity of Jesus Christ. We're going to find in our very text tonight, from verses 35 through verses 51, as we finish the end of chapter 1, we're going to find the purpose to this book, that Jesus is the Son of God. And that he's the Christ, the Messiah to come. And that by people, and we will see examples of people believing in him, they have life in his name. Let's come before the Lord in prayer right now and ask him to open his word to us. Oh, Father, we recognize, God, that it's your word. We recognize, Jesus, that you're the one that must take us. We recognize, God, that we need, Lord, your Holy Spirit to interpret your word. Apart from that, we have nothing. God, your word says, if we lack wisdom, or actually it says, Father, since we lack wisdom, ask of you and you'll give to all freely. Father, tonight we come to you, Lord, with no doubting. We come to you, Lord, we pray, Lord, you would teach us some wisdom. We lack wisdom, Lord, and we need your help. Father, I need your help. And God, we thank you that you're here, you're in our midst, and you love us. We just pray now you'd open your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. At the close of the message last week, I talked about how beautiful John was laying things out and how John is very spiritual and how he even went back to the Ark of the Covenant and he went all the way to the tabernacle. And I've shown you guys throughout the Gospels how perhaps John could be laying something out for us, taking us right through the tabernacle. And if John wasn't aware of it, I'm sure the Holy Spirit was. And the way the scriptures are written, those of you that are new to the church, that are new Christians, it's all scripture has been given by inspiration. It's God-breathed of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's people that write it, and God will use their personalities. God is so natural. He does things so naturally, supernaturally. He'll use the Apostle John by the things he saw and by the things that were in his heart and by the personality that he had to write the Gospel of John to us, as he'll use Matthew in a different way and he'll use Luke in a different way, as Luke was a physician and he would write from that point of view. He was a lawyer too, and he would write the Gospel of Luke, and then he would write Acts in proving things that only a physician would see. It's so natural. God uses his own personality, this person's or that person's personality, but he does it so supernaturally. As he uses you and me with different gifts. You might have gifts. You've had them your whole life. They're natural. Just, you have a gift of mercy. You've always cared about people, even before you were saved. And God will use that gift today to edify the body of Christ. And it's all from God. It's just the natural things in us he uses. And it's just beautiful how the Lord does this. Now, as we're looking at John, I want you guys to notice closely that John has got 9 witnesses in chapter 1 proving the deity of Jesus Christ. Let's review those real fast. He's got, from verses 1 through 3 and verse 14, God Almighty, the Father God, witnesses that Jesus Christ is God. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we see the witness of God. We see the witness, number 2, of John the Baptist. And we covered that clearly last week. We see that almost all through the whole first chapter. We see the witness of the Old Testament scriptures there in verse 23. As we looked last weekend, it said to prepare the way for the Lord. We look back into Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. We saw that it was to prepare the highway in the desert for our God. which is just proving the deity of Jesus Christ. So we have God, we've got John the Baptist, we've got the Old Testament scriptures. Number four, we've got the Holy Spirit. In verse 33, it says that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, John the Baptist knew that this was the Messiah. This was the one in verse 33. And then we've got number five, the Apostle John, the one that wrote the book. Now remember that John the Apostle and John the Baptist are two different people. And we'll see that as we go through the book. John the Apostle is the one writing the book. John the Baptist is the one right now being the witness to Jesus. And in chapter 3, we'll hear no more of him. So in verse 34, we find that John testifies that he's the Son of God. We're going to find this week in number 6, Andrew, he testifies that he's the Christ. Verse 41, Peter, we find that Peter said it there in Matthew 16:6. That he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we find that Peter is the testimony here in verse 42. We find Philip in verse 45. We find Nathanael in verse 49. We find nine witnesses. Nine people and nine and the scriptures and the Holy Spirit that are witnessing that Jesus is the Son of God. And you say this, you say, Trent, yeah, I've heard that. What's the big deal? Why do I push this issue so much? Let me tell you why. You cannot be saved unless you believe that Jesus Christ is God himself. Turn to John chapter 8 with me. It's one of the essentials of our faith. We must be very studied in it. We must know it. And like I said before, it's personal application to your heart. Verse 24 says this, "Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sin, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sin." Jesus said to the Pharisees there, and if you read that later in context, you'll clearly see that when he says, "I am he," he's saying, I am the God of gods. And we find that. We also find in Jesus Christ's titles in John chapter 1 that he's the Messiah. We find the Word. Now these are titles. He calls himself the Word, number one. Number two, the Light. Number three, the Son of God. Number four, the Christ. Number five, the Lamb of God. Number six, the King of Israel. And number seven, the Son of Man. These are all titles to the Messiah. And as you go through that, you'll find it clearly. So there's seven titles to the Messiah of his name, proving the deity of Christ. We find throughout the whole Gospel of John the seven great I Ams. You've heard them, I'm sure, many times before. We'll go through them really fast. Jesus said, "I am." Now, first of all, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, Moses is there. He's in the backside of the desert. He's tending his sheep. He's a shepherd. God comes to him in a burning bush. You've heard the story many times. And God says, "I want you to go to the children of Israel, and I'm going to use you to deliver my people out of their bondage. And I'm going to take them to a land that's flowing with milk and honey." Moses at that point says, "Okay, Lord. Okay, I'll go, but how will they know? How will they know that I'm from you and that I was sent from you?" He says, "I am who I am." God Almighty, the Father God in the Old Testament says, "I am who I am." And he says, "Tell them that the I am has sent you." You see, and these scribes and these Pharisees that Jesus Christ is talking to all through this, these Jewish mind people, they know exactly what I am means. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, he said, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 8, verse 12, and John chapter 9, verse 5, he says, "I am the light of the world." He says in John chapter 10, verse 7 and verse 9, "I am the door of the sheepfold." He says in John chapter 10, 11 and 14, "I am the good shepherd." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life" in John 11, 25. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life" in John 14, 6. And he says, "I am the vine" in John 15, 1 and John 15, 5. That's called the seven I Ams. It's very important. You see, John's got a deep purpose here. People need to realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we talked about it last week and the previous week before. And we talked about how Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he's also the Son of Man. We'll see it in our text tonight. how Jesus Christ came as a man. You guys, why is it so important? Why do I continually talk about it, continually go off on it? Let me tell you why. Because apart from knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He came as a man, we saw the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal God became flesh and dwelt among us. Apart from knowing this truth, you guys, we cannot be saved. It is so important. It is so powerful. You see, if Jesus Christ wasn't the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, He could not have redeemed the world. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every man has sinned. The title deed of the earth was sold to Adam as he sinned. We find that in Romans. We find it also in Revelation chapter 5. The title deed of the earth, it was sold to man. And a man could only redeem it. Could you turn to Revelation chapter 5? I know I'm taking some time on this, but you guys, it's very important. Because we must have a reason why we're talking about all this stuff. And John had a powerful reason to write his gospel. Verse 1. I saw in his right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seal?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was found able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much. Now remember, John is writing this because no one was found worthy to open and to read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seal." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though he had been slain. Now here we've got a picture. It's in eternity. The title deed of the earth must be bought back by a man. No one was worthy. John's weeping. Nobody was found in heaven. Nobody was found on earth. Nobody was found under the earth. No man could have redeemed it because all man has sinned. But because Jesus, being the very God of gods, became a man, He came down and died for us, being perfect. When John was there weeping deeply in the Greek from within, he was sobbing. The elder says, "Sob no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Christ, has prevailed to open the seal. For he was slain. For he died for this." You see, Jesus Christ, only because he was the God, but he was fully man, came to the earth to redeem the whole world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, it's so beautiful. Apart from it, we cannot be redeemed. Yeah, that's why it's so deeply, deeply important. We need to understand our God. He's so personal, so intimate. And we'll see it in our text tonight. John's got a purpose. And in chapter 1, he's got 9 witnesses to prove Jesus Christ's deity. He's got 7 titles for Jesus Christ through his names in chapter 1, proving his deity, and 7 I Ams throughout the whole book, proving the deity of Jesus Christ, so vitally important. Turn back with me to John, and let's start. Verse 35. Again, you guys there yet? Okay, I can still hear papers rustling. This just gets me so excited. Again, the next day. Now remember, this is the third day. Verses 19 through 28 was the first day. And then at verse 29 says again, the next day. And so that was the second day. And now we're at the third day. Again, the next day. John stood with 2 of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And 2 And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came, and they saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated, "a stone." Jesus Christ was walking along. That third day, John the Baptist declared him the first day. Verses 19 through 28, John the Baptist said, "There is one in your midst whom you do not know." He said he's here, but he didn't reveal him. The second day, he revealed him. He said in verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He revealed him to the crowd, to the people. We talked about it last week. He was the Lamb of God. And we talked about it. Now the third day comes along and he says, again, the next day, John was stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now these disciples were there when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," yesterday. But you notice it becomes now intimate. Now he's talking with two of his disciples and Jesus. Jesus is going to get very personal at this point. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." As they looked at him, watching him walk by. You see, in the Old Testament, we find with Abraham and Isaac, there in chapter 22 of Genesis, as Abraham takes his son Isaac up to the altar to sacrifice him, as God was testing him to see if he would be obedient to him, no matter if he'd even cost his own son. We find on that very mountain, thousands of years later, Jesus Christ going up there, the Lamb of God. And Isaac turns to his father Abraham and says, "Father Abraham, I've got the wood for the sacrifice. I've got the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" And he says, "My son, God will provide himself a sacrifice." God did that thousands of years later on Calvary, and that was the very Lamb of God. You see, the whole Testament says, "Father Abraham, where's the lamb?" And all the way through, where is the lamb that's really going to redeem God's children? That's really going to wash away sin and take it away. Not cover it like bulls and goats' blood did, but wash it away completely. That's the whole Testament. Where's the lamb? John the Baptist is on the scene. "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." They knew exactly. There in Revelation chapter 5, we find, as they're worshiping, after what we read down in verse 12, it says, "Worthy is the Lamb." You see, where is the Lamb? Behold, here's the Lamb. And yes, worthy is the Lamb. He did it, he conquered it, and it's sealed. Our sins are taken away. That's exactly what John the Baptist was saying. That question, where is? Behold, that there he is. The word "behold" could even be translated, "look, look at, look, there's the Lamb." His disciples looked at him. Verse 27, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. You see the humility in the Baptist. He's a minister. He's given his life completely. We talked about it last week to the work of the kingdom of God. And he says, "My job's done. There he is." Not a part in his heart would fear this. In fact, in chapter 3, we're going to see that it was his joy to let Jesus increase as he would decrease. The humility of John the Baptist. As a minister, he says, "Go, follow him. Follow him. He's the way. Go, forget all about me." That's how we need to be to people. We need to show them who Jesus is, as John did. He says, "There he is." And they followed him. And the two disciples heard John speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus, turning and seeing them follow, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to be translated, "Teacher." Which is to be translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" You see, they said, he said, "There he is. Go, follow him." And these disciples are falling a little bit off. They're wondering, what is it with Jesus? John's talking about Jesus. John's going off about Jesus. John's whole ministry was for the purpose to pointing to Jesus. And he says, "There he is." So now they're following him down the road. And he turns to him and he notices that they're following. He says, "What do you want? What do you seek?" And startled, I'm sure they said, where are you staying? Like, where can we meet you? Because I'm interested in you, because John is telling me you're the Messiah and I want to experience it personally. You see, you guys, you might hear that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you might believe that. Have you experienced the Christ, the Son of God, personally? Have you experienced Jesus Christ, the Son of God, personally? Have you made an effort to look to Him, to be intrigued with Him, to follow after Him in any way? Because then you will meet Him personally, because Jesus will turn to you and say, "What do you want? What do you want? What is it that you want today from the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it a nice family? Is it a better job? Lord, give me a house. Lord, what is it that you're seeking? Are you seeking fulfillment in life? Are you seeking joy? Are you seeking happiness? What is it that you would seek from the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you seeking to know the Son of God intimately?" I find myself a lot coming to the Lord with my hands out to receive a gift instead of with my hands up to worship Him, because He gave me a gift. He gave me the gift of salvation. You guys today that are Christians, that are people that love the Lord, that have been born again, that believe in Jesus every day, what is it that you go to seek? Is it, "I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me"? You see, happiness, yeah, joy. God does want you to have a job. God does want you to have a house. He does want you to have a family and beautiful children. But what is it that you're seeking? Because it tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, that in Him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Every promise in all the Scriptures are found in Jesus, in the person of Jesus Christ. So intimate. He is so intimate with me. I find all that I ever need in Him. Seeking after the purpose, the person, not seeking after the gifts and the rewards that I get from knowing the person. As I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things, yes, are added unto me. What is it that you seek today? These disciples, they looked at Jesus. They walked to Him and they said, "Where are you staying? Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" Do you want to know where the Lord's staying today? Do you want to come into that intimate relationship and just, the word is abode, to just dwell with Him? Where are you dwelling? They would say, where are you staying? What are you seeking? Are you seeking Him personally, wanting to know where He is that you may abide with Him? He continues, and he says, "He said to me, 'Come and see.'" Literally, it could be translated, "Come and you shall see." You see, that's what Jesus will say to you today. If you come to Him with your hands up to worship, saying in you all the promises of God are yes and amen, it's in you, Jesus. And I don't even seek those. That's just the fruit of knowing you. You came as a man, setting aside your glory and your majesty, and you became poor, that through your poverty I might become rich, though you were the richest of all. You were the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You were the Alpha and the Omega. You were the first and the last. You were dead and you're alive forevermore. You were Jesus who gave your life for me. Jesus, what are you seeking? He says. Are you seeking the person of Jesus? Get in him. We learned in chapter 1, verse 16, that you in him is all the fullness of God. There's nothing missing in Jesus. Are you empty today? Let me ask you, really. I mean, you're walking with the Lord. You're coming to Bible study. You're an on-fire Christian. Do you have emptiness? Is something missing? Is there just that subtle wall in your heart? You know something's wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. Let me put my finger on it for you. You're missing staying, abiding, hanging out with the Lord. Think of it. Are you hanging out with the Lord today? Because he's Jesus and you're seeking that person. Not what you can get, not what you want, but Jesus, I just want to love you. Find yourself sitting at his feet or find yourself serving as Martha did. Or are you that Mary, oh Lord Jesus, just to look and to behold you as the Lamb of God, to look into your eyes. Is that your heart today? Is it the person you're seeking? You guys were very deceived. I know there's many of you right now that this is hitting you because it hit me. What would I give up? What would I do instead of hanging out with the God of gods? You guys, if you would read your Bibles and understand what the Lord did for you, the reason I tell you to read your Bibles is as you see him more and more, you'll realize what he did for you more and more, and you'll fall deeper and deeper in love with him. Not that we would have a bunch of theologians, that you would know him. As Paul the Apostle would say, I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish that I may gain Christ. Counting all but loss that I may know the person of Jesus Christ. What is it that stops you? We're so deceived, walking away from that intimate relationship. You guys, I take the book of Romans and I read it. I find out I've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the grace of God, Ephesians tells me. I am so sealed for the day of redemption, Ephesians tells me, by the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. Romans chapter 8 tells me that there is no condemnation in me. I am a free man. I am free. I am dead to the old man and I can live to God. This stuff is so powerful. I go on and I look to Hebrews and I find that Jesus is my high priest and he's gone through the heavenlies and I can come boldly into the throne of grace. The very presence of the Almighty God that before Jesus came and died, if I would have gone in there, I would have dropped dead instantly because of my sin. He's made an access, he's made an entryway for me to enter into the holiest of all by a new and living covenant by his blood. And I live under the law, and I live under legalism, and I think I'm serving and doing the Lord a service. And all he's saying to me is, come to me like the little children would come and sit on my lap, and I could bless them. Come to me with childlike faith, for apart from that, no one will enter the kingdom of God. Come to me just as you are. Come and let me forgive you. I died for you. It's done. Just receive it. And come in and hang out with me. You see, when you hang out with the Lord, you'll be like these disciples were. They stayed with him. Do you know how impactively, powerfully this meeting with Jesus impacted the disciple Andrew and the apostle John? We see it right here. They remember the very hour that they were there. The very hour. This gospel is written almost 30 to 40 years after this experience. And I believe that John is the guy that remembered the very hour. I believe John is writing this. John's name isn't in here, but that's how John does it all the way through his gospel. You see, John is proving a point. He's not, because there's a debate what this hour means. It could be either, it could be Jewish time or it could be Roman time. I don't think that's the point. And it doesn't matter. It would either be 4 o'clock if it was Roman time or if it was Jewish time. Yeah, if it was Jewish time, it'd be 4 o'clock. If it was Roman time, it'd be 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't think that's the point. The point is it was so powerful that it impacted his life. You see, as these guys just hung out with Jesus this early morning and just talked to Jesus, they saw the living God. Because Jesus came to reveal to me who the Father was, who the Father is today. He came so he can sympathize with my weaknesses. He is blowing me away the more I read his word. I just can't believe it. The word of God, there's no end to it. It's not boring. You see, it's boring when you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. When you have a religious relationship, you read your chapters a day, you do your prayer, and you don't know God at all. In fact, you get bored with it and you can't wait until you get out. Get out of that prayer closet thing these Christians call just putting in your service. Get out of that Bible study. Man, I put in my duty, my religious duty. That's not it. And it's going to be boring to you as long as you think it's like that. But it's when you lay it down. You surrender your will to the Lord Jesus. And you spend time with him intimately, not for any reason, not coming to him to be a good Christian, not coming to him to receive a gift, coming to him to worship. Worthy is the Lamb of God, who will receive power and honor and glory now and forevermore. A person that sees the person of Jesus and will just stop and say, I worship him. I will take time out of my day and I will set it apart because I love him. Sitting at his feet, how far have we slidden from our first love? These disciples show me the true fruit of spending time with Jesus. Verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. First thing he does when he gets out of the presence of Jesus. Notice it. He goes and finds his brother. Says, when the Messiah arrives, you know, he'll tell us all things. Everybody, the whole world was waiting for the Messiah. Man, Andrew says, hey, I found the Messiah. Running to his brother, saying, Peter, I found the Messiah. Let me share with you about Jesus. I just spent time with him. It wasn't Peter. Andrew didn't go, I got to go tell somebody now. He said, man, the first guy I found, I told him. It was my brother. Notice one thing, though. Andrew had something marked on his life. The brother of Peter, of Simon. We find it. We find the word Andrew in the New Testament 13 times. We find tacked onto the end of his name, Simon Peter's brother, 6 times. Almost half the times. I mean, it's like nobody knew who Andrew was. Everybody knew who Simon Peter was. Maybe he was a big mouth. I don't know. I mean, hey, I experienced this. I don't know if you guys ever did. You know, when I grew up, nobody knew who I was. Everybody knew who my brother was. Oh, you're Robbie's brother. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just tacked on the end of my name. That, you know, I would introduce myself. I'm Robbie's brother. You know, it just, I mean, I could see Andrew. You know, everywhere. You find in many spots in the New Testament, 6 spots, he's Simon Peter's brother. But even knowing that, he runs to his brother. And he says, I found him. The one everybody's been looking for, I found him. And he did what? Verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. That's exactly what he did. He found him. Not only found him, but he brought him to Jesus. You know, we don't know much about Andrew, but what we do know is he's a person that brings people to Jesus. We find here in John chapter 6, verse 8. John chapter 6, verse 8. And John chapter 12, verse 22. We find Andrew bringing people to Jesus. He brought the little boy with the loaves of bread to Jesus. He brought some Greeks to Jesus. That's all we know of him. He's just a guy that brings people to Jesus, and his name's Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. But he's a person that brings people to Jesus. You see, you will be a person that brings people to Jesus if you spend time with Jesus. No question about it. You cannot, impossible, no way, spend time with the living God and not say anything about it, not care if people are going to hell, not share with your family. There is no way. And if you're a person that's got the Lord in your heart today and it goes no farther than your heart, he never comes out, I'm encouraging you to spend time with Jesus. I'm not telling you, man, you got to go preach. I'm telling you, spend time with Jesus. Do you know he loves you? Do you really know that? You see, if you do, you would and you will spend time with him. Do you look at yourself? Do you say, look at me. I can't go talk to God. Look what I did. Do you understand the scriptures? That's heresy to say that you can't talk to God because what you did. You're saved by grace. And that not of yourself, it's a free gift of God. That grace isn't of yourself. It's a free gift of God. There's no condemnation in you. You can enter boldly. You're free. You're set free. Take the weight. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Come. Come unto Jesus. Come, whoever thirsts, come. Come. You see, Jesus is calling his children today into the throne of God. That is everywhere you are. You can live in the very presence and the Shekinah glory of God. I encourage you guys to get in your Bibles and read through the Old Testament and see how God was so almighty and people were so scared of him. And it will bring reality to you, seeing that Jesus became a man, and it's a free gift now. It's free. Enter boldly. I cannot come in like, after I've sinned, I don't have to come in down, and I hope God doesn't kill me, and sneak in over in the corner and pray for forgiveness. I come in with a reverence. I come in with an awe, knowing that God is so big, and he could wipe me out at any moment. And I look at the blood of Christ and I see that's my access, that's my all in all, that's my salvation, that God shed his blood for his church. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, God shed his blood for his church. And I look to the Savior and I am just amazed. And I know I'm free. I'm not under a law. You bet I'm going to share that with somebody. I get out of that and I cannot hold it in. I can't help but forget about myself and serve people. I just talk to the living God. I don't come in and go, yeah, Jesus, he's my buddy. You know, and have not reverence, because there's two sides of holding. Yeah, he'll forgive me. No way. I want to serve him with all of my heart. I want to walk with him and I want to know him deeply. I want to live for him. But when I do fall, I know I can enter in and just to worship, saying, Jesus, you did it. Because he says, now to him who is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. He's going to present me. When the blood of Jesus hits my ears, when I hear that word, when I hear the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, I immediately pull back in reverence and awe and say, I can't believe he did it. But I'd be a fool not to receive it. I'd be a fool to walk away from it. I would be a fool to try to do it on my own. And now I move forward for the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I spend time with him. I was talking to one of my brothers the other day, and he says, you know what? Sometimes we're hanging out and stuff, and I just want to get away. I just want to get away. Because I want to go spend time with the Lord. It's burning in me. Yeah, we're talking about, but I got this desire. It's just burning in me to spend time with the Lord. And like, you know, am I insane? And I'm like, bro, you've met the Lord. You've met the Lord. See, it's where I just go, if I could just get a half hour in my bedroom, just to hang out with my Father. Oh. It just, that's where we should be, because you see, you don't have to earn that. That's a done deal. That's where it is. Is that your walk and relationship with Christ today? If it's not, just stop what you're doing. Go spend some time with him. Just spend a little time. Worship him and love him.
He's so beautiful. When Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Peter, Simon. The word Simon means shifting sand. Here's Peter, the big fisherman. We believe he was pretty buff. We see there in the end of John, he pulled in a whole thing of a net full of fish that usually takes 3 to 4 men to pull in by himself, dragging it up. Peter, he's this big old guy. You know, just huge. Most of the big guys I know, inside, they're just little boys. They're just little boys inside. I had this one friend, I mean, he was huge. And he would scrape his knee. We were playing basketball. He scraped his knee. He looked at the blood and just fainted. I'm telling you, he just hit the ground. This guy, he was that's what I see Simon Peter. Just this big old dude. And his name is Shifting Sand. Hey, Shifting Sand. You're jumping all over the place. And Jesus just looks at him and says, "Simon Peter, your name's a stone. You're a stone." Jesus Christ could look into the future by the power of the Holy Spirit and see it. You see, some people in the Catholic Church would say this is the rock that Jesus built his church on. No, Jesus Christ looked at him and said, "You're a stone. I've changed you from a weak man going back and forth, up and down like this, and I'm going to make you a stone." You see, he's only a stone, though, chipped off of the rock. Because this word in the Greek actually means a small rock, just chipped off of a big stone. Jesus is the stone. He's the cornerstone to the church. Jesus is the rock that was in the wilderness. Jesus Christ is the rock of my salvation. He is the rock and he's the shelter of me. You see, Jesus is the rock. He's just the stone. Build your foundation on the rock, Jesus Christ, not on Peter. Peter's just a piece of the rock. Are you a piece of the rock today? A piece of Jesus? You see, the rock, it was probably about this big right here. This, or the stone. This was Peter. Off of a big piece of stone. You see, and Jesus just says, "Peter, you used to be shifting sand, but I take that sand, I'm just going to turn it into a stone. And Peter, wherever I want you to go, I'll just throw you. I'll just move you back and forth. I'll just take you, do whatever I want with you." You see, you're no longer shifting sand. You're a stone that I could just chuck across the sea. No, you're nothing. You're little. But hey, you ain't shifting sand no more. Peter was the man that preached that first sermon there on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Peter was a pillar of the church, Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. So was John. He was a big man. The word Cephas, I don't know what your translation would say, but that's translated for Peter in Aramaic. And the word Peter is translated in Greek. Peter, it means the stone. That's what both of them mean. And so what we find is we find Jesus Christ has touched one man's life. And by touching that man's life, he just spent time with him. He just said, "I'm interested in you, Lord. I understand you're the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Could I spend some time with you? Maybe some time in your word, because I'm not a believer, Lord. And I'll read through the Gospel of John. It's worth my time." And I met Jesus. And he received him into his life as he pursued after him. And as so, the fruit of doing that, man, he touched Peter, who touched millions. Peter preached and over 3,000 got saved. That's counting men only. That was at one message. You see, some people, you might say, "I'm little, I'm nothing, I'm an Andrew. I wasn't a big apostle in the early church, just an Andrew." You know, my brother, he got saved. He does the sound. I mean, people would look at him and say, you know, he's not much, but you know what? He's so powerfully effective. This whole church runs on him. You see, he does things behind the scenes as Andrew, just bringing people to Jesus. No, nobody knew who Andrew was. He brought the little boy to Jesus, fed multitudes, brought the Greeks to Jesus. He's just bringing people to Jesus. My brother brought me to Jesus. He brought me to the Lord, and so doing, I touch other people's lives. We all have different gifts and callings. Are you an Andrew today? Don't get discouraged. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Not everybody's called to be Billy Graham. Everybody's called to bring people to Jesus, though. You don't know who you're going to bring to Jesus next. You don't know what's going to happen. I wonder if the guy that brought Spurgeon to Jesus thought anything. Who are you going to bring to Jesus? You see, we got to just worship the Lord, not come to, I want to be the preacher. I want to be the evangelist. I want to be the best street witnesser this side of California. I want to be the man. And Jesus is saying, well, you're not definitely like John the Baptist. You say, I want to. Are you saying, Lord Jesus, whatever you want, take me and make me a stone and just chuck me across the sea. Throw me wherever you want. Compel me and move me by your love. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. Here I am. Would you take me? See, it's about spending time with Jesus, not worrying about anything else. Letting the Lord's will happen, you will be blown away with how you're used. How are you used today? Used by the Lord. How do you judge used? We have this Christian popularity garbage. What is being used? Walking in the will of God for your life. Just walk in His will. Oh, there's no greater joy. You know how you know you're in the will of the Lord? You got peace. Just hanging out with the Lord. I never pursued any position. I just hung out with Jesus. And God just blew me away. And He continues. I'm watching people day by day. I watch the people that are trying to make something. I've got to get a ministry here and I've got to do this. And then I'm watching people that are just walking with Jesus and ministry is just happening. They're saying, I don't know what to do. There's too many people. There's just too many people getting saved. What do we do? You see, the way we work in this church, we don't raise up a ministry and then pray that the Lord will bring people. We let the Lord raise up a ministry and pray that the Lord would provide the funds for that ministry. Like a church, we don't go, I think we'll plant a church. I'll be the pastor. Jeremy, you can be an assistant. You can be sensitive. Aaron, you be the worship leader. Let's go, guys. No, it's the Lord. It's a work of the Lord. He says, raise them up. Go, Lord, we don't have a building. There's too many people. God, what are you going to do? Oh, okay. Here's a building. That's how the Lord works. Just walking with you. What an experience. The living God of Israel is guiding my life and your life. Do you know what's set before you today? The Lord says, I've got a future and a hope for you. I don't have thoughts of evil, but thoughts of peace to give you a future and a hope. Go call upon my name and I will listen. When you search for me with all your heart, go spend time with me. Oh, you worried about your future? Just put that aside. Jesus has got it in control. The only thing you need to do is abode with Him. Is make your home where He dwells. Make your home with Jesus and He does the rest. You'll bring people to Jesus. Who knows? You might bring the next Billy Graham. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Who knows? I might bring one more person to Jesus and I'm going home. Praise the Lord. That's His will. That's what I want. I might bring 400 million people to Jesus. Who knows? You might be the next Billy Graham. In my heart right now, there's many pastors in this congregation right here. You guys just don't know it. You see, I can see a little more because I know how the Lord works. He did it in my life. And I know how dumb I was and still am. He just blows me away. I look at people struggling and they love the Lord deeply. Freaking out. And I just say, oh Lord, what you're going to do with this man. Oh Lord, if he only knew. And the guy looks at himself and says, I'm a wretch. And I just say, that's the Lord's work. You guys, it is. That's where I was. I am. He does it. He will do it. You guys, don't put your faith in yourself. You've got a vision in your heart. Is the Lord stirring your heart for something? Step out in faith. Step out in faith. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? There's three ways to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all go together. It's the Word of God, it's prayer, and it's stepping out in faith. You guys might have the Word of God in you. You might have prayer. You need to step out in faith. The Lord tells you to go tell somebody something. The Lord lays something on your heart, says, hey, start a prayer meeting. Do it. Step out in faith and watch out, because God, when He has a willing vessel, When he has somebody that says, Lord, no matter what you say, I'm going to do. No matter if I think it's crazy, no matter, Lord, what's happening to me, if, Lord, I will go. I will just step out in faith. I will move out in the power of God. Watch out. The Lord is going to blow you away. The only thing that's going to happen from this is your faith is just going to grow. As you step out in faith, as Peter stepped out in faith there, they said, these men are drunk there in Acts chapter 2. Peter stepped out in faith, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and preached the gospel from the beginning to the end, and 3,000 people got saved. He didn't go, oh, I think we'll do a little sermon today. You guys get the prayer counselors over there, and we'll have them line up over here when I do the altar call, and we'll have them come down here and be baptized. No. He just stepped out in faith. Boom! He didn't know what to do. How are we going to get all prayer counselors for all these people? There's no prayer counselors. The Holy God's there. You guys, to step out in faith is the importance of what we need to do in our hearts tonight. You guys, as we move out of this building tonight, as we go out to Street Witness Saturday night, we step out in faith, and every time I go, my faith is increased. I'm blown away. The Lord did it again. I was scared to death. He opened my mouth, and I didn't even know what was coming out. Next thing I know, scriptures are flying. I'm just going like it. I'm just taking the word of God, and people are just going, oh, I guess you're right. I am a sinner. And they're like, yeah, I don't need God. And they're just blown away. You step out in faith. You guys, what I'm here to tell you tonight, what the Lord has laid on my heart at this very minute, you guys need to spend time with Jesus. So do I. We need to be a church that has no compromise within it, and a people that listens to the Lord from spending time with Him, first of all. When you spend time with the Lord, you will get vision from the Lord. I'm not talking about some vision. Vision, a heart burning to do something. And as you hear from the Lord by spending time with Him, step out in faith and start bringing people to Jesus. Just do whatever the Lord puts on your heart, as long as it's biblical. Step out in faith. Trust in Jesus, not in you. Trust in the living God that let the sun set tonight, because He's living in you. Get out of His way and just obey Him. Die to yourself and live for Jesus. And that only comes from seeing the Lord. Let me close with this. We definitely will not be able to finish tonight. Let me close with this. You guys, to know the grace of God, you must know first the fear of the Lord. As you spend time in His presence, you will see who He is. As you spend time in His Word, you will realize who the Lord God is. And in so doing, you will see your wickedness and your sin. Because let me tell you one thing, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you think you're a sinner. Because the closer you get to the light, the more darkness that is revealed. And as you go closer to the Lord, you're going to see more sin. And in so seeing that sin, you're going to see the grace of God much more. You might say, Trent, I've heard the cross, I know the love of God, but I don't understand it in my heart. Spend time with the Lord, and He's going to show you. When you come into His presence, and you see your sin, and you see His love, and His glory, and His justice, and His righteousness, and His pure white holiness, you're going to only be able to say, Jesus, I can't believe You did it for me. I can't believe You came as a man for me. It's going to get realer and realer and never fade away as long as you stay with Jesus. The disciples spent time with Jesus in communication, in teaching from the Word. They called Him teacher. We today need to spend time in His Word. We need to spend time with Him in communication and prayer. And the third thing they did is they brought people to Jesus. They spent time with Him through prayer. They spent time getting taught by Him through His Word. And third of all, they stepped out in faith and they brought people to Jesus. And those are the three things that you will be filled with Holy Spirit: in prayer, in the Word, and stepping out in faith. You guys, you will get to know your Lord. You will get to understand Him. As Isaiah saw Him, he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, I repent. You see, that's the presence of the Lord. You will see His holiness. You'll see your wickedness. And His love will become reality to you. You'll see, I can't believe he did it for me. So you guys, I want to encourage you tonight, as the worship continues, step out in faith and worship the Lord. Pour out your heart like water, Lamentations says, to the Lord. Repent of your sins tonight. Put away all the show. Put away all that hinders you. Put away all that holds you back. You can't hide nothing from the Lord. Lay it down at His feet and let Him touch your life. After the worship's over tonight, after you guys are fellowshipping, if you see the lights off in here, there's going to be a guy in here. He's just practicing doing worship, and he'll welcome you guys in to just worship the Lord in the sanctuary. I did it last week, and man, I was so blessed. I got touched by the Lord. I just stepped out in faith. Let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to do a work in our hearts. Father, oh, we need you. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray tonight, Father, that you, Lord, would be in your church. God, we know, Lord, we're like the church of Ephesus. God, we know, Father, that we defend the faith, God, and the word zealous for your word, and we love you, Lord, and we hate those that do evil, God, like the church of Ephesus there in Revelation. But God, we have definitely lost our first love. And God, we want to come back to that love tonight. We want to ask tonight, Lord Jesus, that you would take our hearts and you would mold them into the Son of God. Jesus, there's no other reason that we're here but to become more like you. I pray that you would walk in your church tonight and you would light hearts on fire. You would reveal sin to us, God, where we don't know where it is. Father, where we're deceived in our hearts, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and reveal sin. You would take our hearts and you'd bring it back, Lord, to the right relationship we had. The pride, Lord, that is in this room right now, I pray you would strip down so deep. God, the people, Father, that are so far from you, God, those that aren't believers here tonight, I pray, Lord, you would show them your love. Show them their need for you, God. I pray, Father, that nobody would leave without knowing you. God, for us, Lord, that have lust in our hearts, God, that have things, Lord, sins, secret sins that we've been hiding from you, God, we know you see all things naked and bare before the eyes of who we must give account. And God, we pray that you would cause us to repent tonight of them. God, we're so hypocritical thinking that we could hide something from you. God, the only thing we have, Lord, is, Lord, to throw ourselves at your mercy and say, thank you, Jesus, I can't believe you did it for me. But since you did, and the blood of Jesus is here tonight, and any of those of you here tonight that would confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I proclaim by the authority of the Word of God, your sins will be forgiven. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Thank you for your precious word, God, and your promises that are all in Christ. Yes, and amen. Thank you, Jesus.